Forever! Dog!
Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see. My, oh, my. Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes. Oh, my
goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
You went up with the lilt.
I felt musical.
Yeah.
And I, can I say something?
Please. You always ask for permission and you always have it.
Thank you for giving me the permission either way.
Yeah.
I have been in LA now for some time, performing a lot less.
Oh.
Like, this is the thing with, like, I feel like you come out to LA when you're, I'm a New Yorker.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like I'm performing all the time, getting on every show, every show. Here in LA, I'm in fucking bed at literally 9:30 p.m.
Because that's the L.
And I think I like it better that that's the L, honey. It's actually Rule of Culture number 9. That's the L, honey. I think I like being a person who goes to bed early and gets up early as well.
So that's what you're
doing. I think I like this culture because in New York, I am fully up until 2 o'clock in the morning, and if I wake up at 11:45 and catch the last 15 minutes of The View, it's a blessed day.
Wow. I mean, but with New York, it's like either your blood vessels are screaming or, you know, you're just so lethargic.
I'm so happy that you said blood vessels are screaming because I was thinking to myself, we need to find a way to spice up this LA versus New York conversation. How are we going to make this the definitive LA versus New York conversation? And when you, honey, said blood vessels screaming, I saw that and I thought that's visual. And that's why you're an artist. And that's why you're a vocal artist.
Thank you.
You are amazing, Bowen. Bowen, you are an amazing vocal artist. And thank you.
I think my new joke area is like vaso humor. Like,
yes.
Like blood vessel humor.
Can I say some things?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hapa's laughing. Hot associate producer Alec is laughing at my... But you know what? We have so much in common. We're both from Denver. We both were IB kids, International Baccalaureate, which is just a really silly
program. Yeah, I don't care.
Oh no! But we both remembered it very fondly. I don't mean to poo-poo on IB, but
I was advanced placement.
What a gorgeous quick friendship that I've struck up with Hapa.
That's amazing.
And Hapa means, as we briefly mentioned, half Asian. Shorthand for saying half Asian. Oh, they're Hapa.
And you are fully white?
Full Jewish.
Oh.
Which is white.
That's good. Jewish is white.
Now speaking of race.
Here's the thing. Whenever I make an appearance out in LA, what I say to the people is I say, I would like to do podcasts. And they say, okay. And the people, Sam Varela, namely, will reach out and she'll come back and she'll say, here's the podcast that would accept you on as a guest.
Mm.
And whenever I see, yo, is this racist? And they always accept me on as a guest. I say, I would like to do that show.
One of the best podcasts.
I have such a good time. And guess what?
I have such a good time listening because I think, I'm like, oh, I'm just, truly, I don't feel that same thing with a lot of podcasts that a lot of people talk about where they're just like, oh, it feels like I'm sitting with cool people and having a conversation. Most of the time, I'm like, oh, I'm being told about Elizabeth Holmes scamming, you know, whatever.
Which is what we discussed on our Dwayne Perkins episode.
But when you listen to these two, I'm truly like, oh, I'm like,
part of it.
No, it's not only that. It's like I'm getting smarter.
Oh, yeah.
I know how to like talk about shit more and more. Truly, I'm like, oh, these are like two very smart, good, cool people.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, of course. I've been on their podcast 2 times. I feel I cheated on you by going on their podcast without you. But guess what? I'm my own fucking person.
Yeah.
And I will go on any podcast that accepts me.
Mm-hmm.
And when they accepted me to be on their podcast the second time, I did say I accept the invitation and we went on and had a fabulous time.
I listened to that episode. It was fabulous.
I had such a fabulous. And we just had a shot of whiskey with them. And guess what? It slammed me.
Oh,
what was the kind of whiskey that it was?
It was a Taiwanese. What's it called, Andrew?
An aged
Cavalon.
Cavalon. I was about to say Kavanaugh, which would have been bad.
Had you said Kavanaugh, I would have stormed out.
I didn't.
I don't want to talk about her.
I don't want to talk about her. But
I don't talk about her
at
all.
Andrew brought me these boxed fruit.
Well, he didn't bring me
fruit in a plastic case. These Asian pears in a styrofoam mesh.
May I smell the fruit?
Yes. Oh, you haven't had Asian pear, but you've had Asian pear before.
I would like to try one right now.
Oh, well, you can't really. It's more of a thing that you cut up. It's like, you know, or you can bite into it. But look, oh, it's the most beautiful fruit.
What is this wrapper?
It's the styrofoam mesh. Take a bite. Just take one bite into it, and then it'll be yours. What a gorgeous sound. what do we pear. Think?
I love this pear.
It's a great pear.
It tastes as good as it looks. It's a very big pear.
Mm-hmm.
And the taste is big.
And the taste
Oh, it's very big. Sweet.
And it's gorgeous natural sweetness.
Cavalon.
That's the whiskey. And I mean, it's so nice of them to come bearing gifts.
Can you even slay?
Can you even slay?
I'm already having a great time.
I'm having such
and
a good
can
time.
You believe we haven't even introduced them?
We haven't even introduced them.
Can we say that the host of Yo Is This Racist podcast on Yes, Ms. Earwolf Network.
Ms. Earwolf Network.
Ms. Earwolf Network.
Yes, honey.
Which is really the president of network podcast networks. Yes. I'm telling you, I had one shot.
And
it's
you are
psycho
slammed.
What it did to me.
I can't wait for this wild ride. I'm strapping myself in. Wow. I mean, you can catch them on their amazing podcast, Yo, Is This Racist? They're talking about race, talking to guests, taking calls. It's truly the best, most entertaining.
Sometimes the calls can be psycho.
The calls are, and that's why we love the calls. As a listener, that's why I love the calls.
And they do make you think.
You can catch Brockmire?
Yes.
Coming up in April.
And you can catch our guests sometimes popping out, our one guest, sometimes popping out of a cab in Vancouver and us being like, Tawny? And her being like, what?
What?
And then we all get drinks.
And then, well, hold on, you
hold
just wait.
Hold on, we said.
And then you can count on Andrew to just bring a delicious sweet fruit.
They are bringing it.
And I'm so excited that this episode is happening. This is a true, gorgeous crossover moment. Please welcome to your ears,
Tawny Newsome and Andrew T.
What's up?
Thank you.
I'm sorry I cut you off. What were you going to say, Tawny?
What were you going to say?
I got so excited in the same way that I got excited when you shrieked my name in Vancouver.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that's when it was a period of 5 days where I lost my phone.
Yes.
To travel to another country. Yes. Like a Luddite. Yes. And hearing two people I didn't know were there say my name in a friendly way made me feel seen and heard.
Oh.
In a way that I had truly been in the dark.
Oh my God.
And I had nothing. And then you gave me a ray of light. Thank you.
Thank you. Andrew, longest you've gone without your phone?
Longest I've gone without my phone about 18, 20 minutes.
Okay. Mm. That's beautiful. And
tops.
Actually, I admire that.
Mm. Tops.
Keep it with you in the at like the gym. You just keep it strapped to you in a yoga class.
Fully what I do is I've been playing poker on the exercise bike.
Oh, that's fun.
It's because I hate being on the exercise bike so much. So my reward is playing online poker for Bitcoins. I think not strictly legal website.
Right. Did I know this about you, that you possess Bitcoin?
I only got enough to play poker on this like not legal website.
Which is how many? It's like 0.01.
I got $300 worth of Bitcoin, which is like, I can tell it's exactly 0.158. And it doesn't matter. The point is.
That's beautiful.
I've been playing.
Wow.
Can I just say.
How are you liking that pear?
I just have to say something. This pear is like a cake.
They're really sweet.
This pear is unrivaled. This pear has the top rating from me. Five stars.
I will just say this. We could even do this. Try it just a little chilled.
Oh my God.
Absolutely.
They're really good. Just not cold, but just like a little, like just out the fridge and then warm it up like a little more than you would a white wine.
This is beautiful.
Have you tried this pear?
My childhood, bitch.
Oh my
God. It's very Asian.
Cut it up for me.
This is outrageous.
But boxed fruit is mad Asian.
It's like you went to an H Mart and just came straight here from there.
I mean, it hypothetically could be like I did go to the Korean store literally minutes right before I came
and
here.
And that's beautiful. And why would we judge that?
But I went the extra Chinese mile and I did tear the Korean stickers off the pears.
Because you didn't, you wanted to.
You needed a Chinese experience.
Yeah. I wanted to go full Chinese.
You wanted
us.
To sinnify these pears by taking off the Korean label.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not that cool, like, in some ways.
No. But like, okay, Andrew, I think you touched on this thing right before we hit record.
Oh, yeah.
And it's truly it completes me in this way that you that we're talking about this kind of stuff, because I do feel very unmoored as an Asian now, where it's just like I just don't mm-hmm. interface with enough of any part of the culture anymore, where I'm just like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. oh, that's right. I grew up with chilled Asian pear.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing. Well, part of it is New York.
Yes.
Because Southern California, a lot more Asian people.
Yes, yes.
Sorry, a lot more...
I get what you're saying.
Middle-classy Asian people like interact with the places you are likely to be.
Absolutely.
And also, I will say, though, so the other part of it is that there's this weird thing of, like, is that in Southern California, there's, like, kind of, like, pan-Asian-ness, where like, hence the Korean story. Like, so there's not as much...
It all gets flattened into one. Yeah,
so there's not as much Chinese-ness specifically.
But...
Or, and, like, Mandarin-speaking Chinese-ness also, where you're like... I don't know.
Oh, wait. We're just getting full.
I love it. It's adding a texture to the conversation.
It's adding a crunch.
It's a literal crunch.
It's giving gravitas to an already, like, beautiful...
This is literally the top five best things I've ever eaten.
Wow!
They're really good.
I am not even kidding you. This is so good.
It's beautiful.
I love how big it is. They're the size of a softball.
Yeah.
Like, regulation.
Tony, do you want one?
I'm going to crunch one, too.
Come on. As dense as a softball, even.
Truly.
Yeah, you can... Straight
oh my God!
Up,
it really is a softball. You can kill someone.
You can kill someone. It's heavy. It's heavy.
It's very heavy.
Lot of water. Sweet, but not too sweet.
Mm-hmm. Sweet, but not too sweet. Okay, so while these two non-yellows bite into their pears, oh my God.
This is a perfect way to let you guys have space to have this conversation. Is just feed the non-Chinese people so that we are quiet and we listen with support.
But our listeners that are like anti-me and pro-Bowen are like, this is fucking. They're jacking off right now.
But do you guys please feel free to chime in? Okay, so Andrew, and he was also getting an interview. You were also getting into your family. And,
oh yes, yes, yes.
And your and the family ilk or whatever it was.
Yeah. You said so my last name is T.
Yes.
Which no one else besides the people related to specifically my dad are named because it's like a weird transliteration,
right?
Because in the Chinese, our name is D.
D. So,
yeah.
Wait, is that third tone or is that
D D
D?
No, second tone.
D.
Okay.
And
it was like the brief window in the 70s where they decided D's were T's.
Oh.
So like even people with my same Chinese last name would probably arrive at, I don't know, immigration in San Francisco today and be told they're like D-I or D-E-E
right,
or something like
right,
that. Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah.
That brief window in the 70s where they said Mao Zedong.
Yes, yeah, yes, yes. Yeah, and exactly. That's the same character, in fact. That's been...
Instead of Mao Zedong?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Wrongly transliterate or whatever.
Whatever
that
is.
Doesn't matter. But the other thing is, so my family's like name... is like basically like horse. It's like horse farmer kind of people.
Oh.
We were basically like shitty Mongolians. Like we would be the ones that didn't overthrow anyone.
Got it. Which is honestly chiller.
Yeah, aren't you like the nicer Mongolians?
I think we're bad at it though. I think it's just
bad at
being
nice. You wanted to be evil.
No, bad at being conquerors.
I mean, there's a fucking...
That is my vibe, though. Like, kind of mean, but, like, really bad at it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're a little better at it. I don't know.
This needs to soak in a cocktail. Like, this would be... This would absolutely...
Right? Oh, my God.
Infusion.
Do you know where I went last night?
Tell us.
Where?
Sir.
Oh,
you did it.
I love the housewife.
How is it?
And I had a lychee martini, and I'm thinking what we need is this pear.
Oh, the
martini.
Lychee martinis are so fucking done. I mean, it's like they've been...
I think Asian pear martini.
Pear martini.
Or just, again...
We need that.
One Asian pear and one shot of whiskey neat.
Right.
And that's the mixed drink.
And then your Matt Rogers off to the races, just
brewing
and brewing.
Well, you know what Tawny did.
What did Tawny do?
She took her Asian whiskey and mixed it with some kombucha, and now she's got a fine bourbon drink to pair with her Asian pear.
I'm an innovator. There was this kombucha sitting here on the counter.
Yes.
Is this a counter?
This is a counter.
It's a counter.
Well, I'd call it a table, but you know, if you want to call it a counter, I would never
take that. We're sidled up to the Culturistas counter.
We had like a staggered ways of taking the drink because it was a small amount. It was the end of Andrew's bottle.
Yeah, it was the end of a bottle that someone brought back
from
Taiwan.
So we split it between five folks, and some people were badass and took it like a shot.
Hi, how are you?
You did.
Well done.
Our lovely full white friend Alex did.
Yes.
And Alex, right?
Full Jewish.
Yeah,
full
Aleph,
Jewish. Full Jewish.
I tried to sip it, but then I went one step further. I went one step towards Soccer Mom. I said, I need a spritzer. I said, yeah. Put some LaCroix in my white wine. Right. I can't possibly drink liquor straight.
The next best thing was this kombucha.
And now it's like a little bourbon-y whiskey ginger almost.
It tastes really good. But I mean,
you found the classiest route. Congratulations.
Really, nothing wrong with a chaser. I have to say, listen. Nothing wrong with a chaser.
No, not at all.
Is there something wrong with this pear? Is so juicy.
It's unbelievable.
So wet.
I can't stop talking about it or thinking
it's
about
just
it.
Sticky.
You guys may straight up need a roll of paper towels.
Yeah.
Right. Does that exist in this universe?
We have.
With
Papa, can we get some?
With every bite, I'm sucking the juice. I don't need a paper towel. I'm really enjoying this.
Matt's going to be fully hydrated.
I feel like
hydrated.
A hummingbird enjoying the nectar.
This is unbelievable. I swear to God, this is like dessert. I'll never need ice cream again. I can't talk. I can't even describe to you.
I mean, it fully is dessert in a lot of Chinese places.
It is.
Yeah. Just plate of fruit.
Plate of fruit.
Chilled fruit.
Where have we been, Matthew? Where have we been?
I don't know. Like, I will say.
Thank you, Fred.
Thank you for the napkins. So, anyway. Wait, let me just last night at Sir.
Yes.
Tuesday night.
Okay. What kind of
crazy?
Food is it? Yeah.
Women in bandage dresses hanging from the ceiling.
Sure.
That's what the wrong side of LA does.
Unreal.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll escape eventually.
But it's crazy. Like Tuesday night was absolutely crazy. It was a scene, and there was a wait for tables. I got there at 8 p.m. We had to wait 20 minutes with a reservation.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it was crazy, and then it got really more busy as it went on, and then I was like, okay, is this where they actually film Vanderpump Rules?
Was
that where that happens?
I think it's a pump.
Or is that Pump?
No.
That's Pump.
Oh,
that's
probably but Pump. It is the other one. What's the other one?
I have to be honest with you. I do not watch the show, despite being a diehard Real Housewives of Beverly Hills fan. I don't watch the show, but I'm confused as to wherever they film Vanderpump Rules. Like, is that service staff actually the cast of that show? I think they are.
I think it was at one point, and now they have to, like, put in... They have to like it's like they have to put in enough shifts to technically qualify as still a waiter.
Oh my
God.
Wow. Like, you know what I mean?
Do they get paid server's wage on top of scale?
Yeah.
And how do their tips factor in?
Honestly.
And how? And how? Okay. And it was a fun time. What'd you eat?
I had a lobster bisque and angel hair pasta dish.
And what was the sauce?
Like a tomato sauce.
Still lobster bisque.
Yeah.
Still lobster bisque. Yeah.
Just double bisque.
Double bisque.
But I'm really kind of finding that in LA you can't go out to eat without spending less than $35.
Yeah.
Like it's crazy every time.
Oh.
All my lunches are expensive.
I'm gonna say this. I know I've come in extra Chinese hot today.
Come on.
Keep going.
Bring it. But LA, if you get ethnic shit. You can eat better, and you can eat for less than $35.
Really? That's straight up why I live in Koreatown.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's beautiful.
Just consider it.
Okay.
I think here's my food line. As long as we're talking New York, LA.
We are.
New York is way better if you're spending more than, let's adjust for inflation since I lived there last, $45 per person. If you're spending more than $45 per person, New York is way better.
Yeah.
If you're spending less than $35, you know, I used to say 25, but yeah, but if you're spending less than $35, LA is way better.
Really?
Yeah. What about 35 to 45? Chicago?
That's that window.
That's the market.
That's the sweet spot.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That is where you sort of hit.
But just go to like, you know, strip malls and all that stuff. And like, and as long as you don't think of like the dinner as having to be part of the entertainment portion of the night out, like, get a good meal for cheap and then go to a bar.
Because it will be next to a car wash.
Right. Yeah. It will not be like
fun or
nice.
It's not a scene.
Yeah.
It's like good food.
Yeah.
Because the places that are scenes are not good food.
Okay. Well, the strip mall aspect of LA culture is I think one of the most overwhelming things for me as a coming where I'm just like, there's so many.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there seems like there's cool stuff in all of them. You got your dentists.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Your Zankus.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You got your
Zanku dentists.
Fucking immigration lawyers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you want to go to all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to set this down. That's why
they have them in one spot.
I'm going to set my pair down for now.
Okay.
You've turned yours into like a delightful little meteor.
Right. Well,
You made a baseball out of a softball. Yeah. Wow. Incredible.
So
nice.
My thing with pears, when I'm eating pears, I like to eat all the skin first. And then you go for the rest.
But then you're just holding on to, you got your grip on something sticky the whole rest of the way.
I do the same with a full zucchini. I just want to get that tough, flavorless skin down.
Hideout
What can I say? I'm high risk.
Okay, wait. I'm sorry, Tani. You eat this zucchini raw?
No, I was just trying to participate.
Oh, I was very concerned.
Well, yeah, that would be bad.
I have a way. I have a way. We can literally, truly toss Tani into participating.
Come on.
And that's by asking the question.
Oh.
So on Las Culturistas, we ask all of our guests a question. Mm-hmm. That question is, what was the culture that made you say culture was for you? This is the defining pop culture of your life that you can like think back and think, oh, I am who I am probably because of my media diet at this crucial time. And what did that include?
So I do think that it was trying to just replicate, trying to only listen to music that my mother was listening to.
Okay.
And not because it was all good, but because it was all things that my mother liked.
Right.
And I liked her.
Yes, you wanted to relate.
I wanted to relate. I liked her. I liked when she played things and I felt like a little grown up. Mm-hmm. So, and this is going to swing wild. So I need you to buckle up. Okay?
I love that. That's how I do.
It's not a safe ride. This is a go-kart we're in. Okay.
Love it.
So let's start with a Stevie Wonder.
Okay.
Hotter Than July, Songs in the Key of Life. Those are on heavy rotation in my home.
Yes.
We're doing good so far.
Oh yeah.
Love that.
Let's talk about Anita Baker.
Okay.
Oh, Miss Anita.
My God. Caught Up in the Rapture of You. I was like 12 years old, wearing my mom's paisley suits.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. Caught up in the rapture of love.
Yes. And we have a musician.
Oh, it taught me to sing. It taught me to close my nose when I sing.
Yes.
It taught me to close my eyes and never open them when I sing. So we're doing okay. Then we're going to swing wide and we're going to go to Toto.
Okay? Oh.
We're also take a lot to all of it. We're also going to dive deep into the Eagles.
Okay.
And then we're also going to give
California,
you a swipe of Trisha Yearwood.
So
this was my
you.
CD changer, is what you're hearing.
Go
and
on.
It.
The 5 CD changer.
Yeah. It actually was a 6 CD changer in which put the Styx Greatest Hits album in there.
Wow.
Got to have number six. Wow.
So, it was my mother's wide swinging musical taste. One time when I was 13 years old, she went to a Parliament Funkadelic concert and she got it signed for me.
Wow.
I did not know who they were. But after that, you better believe I learned. You better believe I said, I want to know who these men are who said, Tawny, go and get it, girl.
Oh.
I want to know who George Clinton is now. And then I found out.
The Clinton.
The other one, yes.
George Clinton, baby.
It did not make me popular. It did make my mother and I able to bond. And I still hold some of those albums.
Popular with your
favorite.
Mom is still popular.
It's still popular.
That's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
I want to dive into one particular musical
Let's
artist that you've mentioned, and that musical artist that I like to discuss is Trisha Yearwood.
Yes, please. We started this in the hall, and we have to continue.
We did, because I sang a little bit of How Do I Live, and then you threw at me.
I pounced like a jaguar.
You had said, when you sing How Do I Live, what is the canon for you? Is it Leanne Rimes or is it Trisha Yearwood? And I unfortunately had to respond, Leanne Rimes. Now, understand, I did grow up on Long Island where the pop sensibility was going to take over.
Sure.
We really didn't know Trisha Yearwood, although I will say this. I first found out that Trisha Yearwood had a version of that song at the Oscars that year because the 3 nominated songs were, I think, like Sonny Came Home by
Sean Colvin.
How Do I Live from Con Air, performed by Trisha Yearwood on the Oscars. And the winner, My Heart Will Go On from Titanic, sung by famously Celine Dion.
Con Air was at the same year as Titanic.
It absolutely was.
Really?
Amazing year for cinema. It's an important thing. Mm-hmm.
Wait, I don't believe any of this.
Why don't you look it up?
Maybe I will.
And My Heart Will Go On won.
Yes.
But How Do I Live, I remember watching and I was like, oh, that's not Leanne Rimes singing that song because Trisha Yearwood did it in Con Air. And I do enjoy Trisha Yearwood much more now. She's got one song called Georgia Rain that makes me cry.
Yes.
And one of my favorite songs of all time that really puts me through it is called This Is Me You're Talking To.
Oh, yes. I resonate with this so hard. I also don't know what we were talking about this a little bit. The division between the Leanne Rimes heads and the Yearwood heads. Like, I feel like media did that to us.
War.
They made us war.
They made
the Rhyme
war.
Babies.
Was
that
right?
I couldn't find it. It's very hard to Google. Okay. I truly can't.
Truly not that hard, but.
And you're drunk. Don't do it.
I'm not drunk.
Don't. Well, okay. So, and what do you, what, for, because I truly have no
Sure.
I'm someone who has no attachment to either of these women. Explain the divide. Explain the war. What is it? Is it purely the locust? Is the locust the song?
I believe it must have started with the song. But there was also, now imagine little 12-year-old Tawny trying to be my 32-year-old mother.
Yeah.
Imagine back then, I feel like the Leanne Rimeses, the Dixie Chickses, and even the Shanias were more in a pop country. They were a younger vibe.
That was the wave.
The grown folks who were listening to shit, who were listening to the Clint Blacks and the Garth Brooks and the George Straits and all these like silky voices who were really like considered the new traditionalists of country music, hearkening back to the, you know, the Loretta Lynns and the Dolly Partons of it all.
Yep.
So when in the 90s, when we had these new traditionalists kind of reestablishing the genre as less poppy, less, you know, suburban rock in a cowboy hat, then all of a sudden you had these young poppy girls come up and it was like, no. Yep. We're grabbing the Vince Gill. We're grabbing the silky voiced Vince Gill of it all.
But you can beat back the poppy girls.
We couldn't. And Leanne Rimes has a fantastic voice. So I don't know why I was so mad at her.
There were not only three nominees. It was Titanic, My Heart Will Go On, Anastasia, Journey to the Past, Con Air, How Do I Live, Good Will Hunting, Miss Misery, and Hercules, Go the Distance.
Okay,
so I was wrong about Sean Colvin. I don't know why I said that. But Titanic was the winner, and Con Air
Do you know lost. What it... I feel like that whole era, though, of music was like the posers versus the authenticity era.
Talk about it.
That's that same conversation. That's the same thing people were saying about... I don't know, Nirvana and Pearl Jam?
Sure. Yeah.
It's that
Nelly
same...
and 50 Cent?
Exactly.
That was a little later.
Precisely.
Nelly was the poser in that scenario?
I believe so, yes, because the Band-Aid, he never had an injury.
Right.
Which she did.
He was unhurt.
He was unhurt.
But it's an aesthetic embellishment. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. I also feel like 50 Cent, like in his lyrics, it's like, okay, you really have like fucked this way.
Yeah.
Whereas like Nelly, it's like,
I don't know.
Yeah, we gather that. Like, here's the thing. Here's the difference between 50 Cent and Nelly. You feel like 50 Cent could actually tell you specifically what it tastes like when you give cunnilingus. Whereas Nelly's like, when you go to a place with a lot of people, it gets warm in the room.
He's literally imagining.
Like, shut up.
He's imagining. Yeah. He's like, take off your clothes while you're all alone. Dancing from the mirror, I think.
He's like, I think the way the temperature works is when people get in the room, it gets hotter.
That's good.
Whereas like 50 Cent's like.
That was very, yeah.
50 Cent's like.
Detail oriented.
I'm gonna fuck you over here because I have.
Yeah,
before.
This is.
I know that
the
it
specific
works.
Couch.
Before. Yeah,
I stared at the indentation of their palm prints on the couch.
Exactly.
Kind of
50 Cent.
He's
like
the Hemingway of that.
Yes. Absolutely.
50 Cent was good.
Vaguely
I will say,
bullshit.
Candy Shop.
A womanizing homophobe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Candy Shop still quote unquote slaps.
I mean, a lot of these songs slap, you know?
A lot of these songs slap.
I took
slap.
It to the candy shop.
Truly, if you go back and listen to any Shania Twain song, they all slap.
They all slap.
I'm gonna get you just a matter of fact. I'm gonna get you, don't worry about that. You can bet your bottom dollar in time and gonna be mine.
Yes.
Just like I should, I'll get you good.
Oh, slap. Beautiful. Slap.
Oh. Okay, so you got a car.
That don't impress on me much. Honestly, that don't impress on me much was incredible.
It's an incredible song.
It's an incredible song.
That don't impress on me much. Oh, yeah.
The rap she does, it's literally like, one, two, get on the floor. Turn around. Look, who's at the door.
It's a do-si-do
get
rap.
Get on the floor. Turn around.
I remember, there were so many. Also, do you know what is an underrated Shania bop, which was later in her career, but is a bop?
Let's talk about it.
Keeping you forever and for
this is a B-side.
That's not a bop. That's a ballad.
Listen to it again.
Okay.
Ballads are bops.
Ballads can
bops.
Be bops.
Ballads.
Excuse me. I will always love you.
It's not a bop.
I listen. I will always love you is a bop that slaps.
Bop.
It's actually rule of culture number 11.
I will always love you
is a bop that slaps.
I don't fully agree with that.
I was gonna say I feel like I've never seen anyone have to do something under so much duress as Bowen just had to
you
do that.
You were a hostage.
I was a hostage.
I will always love you is a bop that
to the
slaps.
Format.
And I will say this. I watched the Whitney documentary on a plane.
Oh.
Devastating.
Of course.
It ends so sad.
We know.
Well, don't spoil
it.
No spoiler.
Have you seen it?
I've actually seen it.
I lived it. We've seen it play out. Getting more details about that can't be better.
Yeah. Devastating.
Were we together the night that she died? We were at Skidmore.
Were we at Skidmore?
It was senior year at Skidmore.
That's so weird.
And someone in the theater shouted, Whitney Houston just died.
Okay, can I tell you something? I wasn't there.
Oh,
I wasn't there because
you were doing Murat Saad.
I was doing Murat Saad at college. And the musical director of Murat Saad was like this gay guy. And
you were truly, can I say this? We've been through this so many times before on this podcast. You were at your worst at that point.
Yeah, I was. but he literally goes, hey guys, we're going to run through the show and do it for Whitney.
No.
I remember just
she don't want it.
I remember just being like, and he was like, he turned over and looked at me, and I was like, come on.
I know who you're talking about.
You think it's someone else. It's someone.
We can hear that.
These mics are quite
honestly,
sensitive.
don't cut it out, but replace it with the sound of me chomping on this pear.
It kind of sounds the same.
It sounds very similar. I have to. Oh, Matt, here you go.
Fast.
Am I getting sloppy?
Fast biting is the worst.
That was
such
incredible.
A firm fruit.
It was so good.
There is no worse offender with eating loud than Bowen Yang.
No,
Bowen Yang eats the loudest in the West.
In the West.
Or East. Or he's,
don't bring race.
No. But also, Matt, come to the East.
Come to the East.
If you want
to
hear loud eating, God.
What, that's like Silver Lake? Just kidding. I do want to go to the East because I want Bowen to. I want to go to the East because I want Bowen to. He keeps like really kind of sticking it in and breaking it off about this.
What do you mean?
I want to go to Shanghai Disneyland.
We will go.
That's where you want
to
go.
It's cool. He needs to go to all the Disneys. That's his thing.
All the Disneys. But also, I think it's just outside of Shanghai. They have that like fake Paris that like is basically abandoned.
Oh no, that's so post millennium Chinese that it's so bleak and sad.
It
might have been from the 90s or the 80s.
No. It's like recent ish. It's like mid 2000s.
And it's abandoned.
I think it's like people never moved in. And I don't know if it's all of Paris, but it's like a French some bullshit because Chinese people are weirdly obsessed with France.
With France,
sure.
But they can never execute it without it being so goddamn tacky.
It's the tackiest ass shit on earth. It's great.
So this is like a haunted, empty Paris with Chinese flavor.
I mean, like if there was like a way to have cool Chinese cinema, it would be the setting for the best indie movie ever. Just like fake Paris that some communist decided they should build.
God.
I disagree. I thought Meg was a fantastic film.
Well, there's the Meg. You do own it.
I own it. I bought it for $19.99 American dollars.
Toddy tried to make us watch this shit on New Year's Day.
On New Year's Day, everyone was hungover. Andrew was coming down,
I was coming
off
down
of
from
some
Molly.
Cocktail.
and then did you in fact watch it?
We did not. Everyone shot me down, but I lobbied hard.
Well, okay, now walk us through the Meg, just very briefly. What makes it a great film?
What makes it a great film is I was hungover one day. I had scrolled through every option on the iTunes, Netflix, HBO, Hulu offerings of movies. I had either seen every single fucking thing on an airplane or had no desire to see certain things. Then,
if we place this in time, this was very soon after The Meg came out.
Yes, it was right after it came out. And I said, oh, you know what I want to watch? That silly, fun romp. Fun old, you know, marble mouth Jason Statham.
Yes.
It's got cute little children in it that are smarter than their years. You know, this will be a fun thing. Rainn Wilson is in it. It's a romp with real cool CGI and a scary shark. I like the ocean.
And these fun Chinese actors that they're trying to push on us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just like a DJ.
Oh, yeah. What was her name? Who now has vanished on the face of the earth?
Oh, Fan Bingbing.
Fan Bingbing.
She was great.
She straight up might be dead, guys.
Oh, no.
Really?
I hope she's okay.
She's like fully like disappeared by the government in a way that's like, who knows?
Oh, that is very scary.
It's bad.
I had it set in my heart and my mind that I needed to see The Meg and no other film would do because I had scrolled to the end of Netflix. And when I finally convinced my husband, I said, this is what we're going to rent. He was like, okay. And I went to rent it and you could only buy it. Only buy it. And I said, I'm not going through this mental hell again. This is our purgatory and we have to do this now.
Right.
So we own The Meg. The only other films we own are Paddington 2.
Uh-huh.
And L.A. Story, I believe.
Solid. I hear good things about Paddington, too.
Yeah.
I've heard it's great.
Yeah.
It was fun. We rented it when my nephew was in town. It was a romp.
So you've made purchases after browsing fatigue.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
And it was a $20 shark film that I have now watched twice, and I try to put my friends through whenever possible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, I think you were figuring your New Year's Day party is a big gathering for your house, mm-hmm. and if we're amortizing it by eyeballs, mm-hmm. making mm-hmm. everyone at that party watch it is the only way you're ever going to come close to recouping.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. I was
absolutely.
Trying to get my money back.
It's like movie-nomics.
Man, Andrew, like, the way you can reason through these things is truly...
You can't, I just...
Truly beautiful. Truly yeah. beautiful. Okay, well, should we move on to Andrew with the culture question?
I think yes. we should, although I could talk about Miss Trisha for a long time.
We can bounce back and forth.
And I do want to say, I just want to tell all the Culturistas listeners that there are a couple live performances of This Is Me You're Talking To, and Trisha gives you a fucking performance, especially the performance which is just acoustic with a guitar. Mm. She gives you everything you need. It's a beautiful song. I listened to it in some vulnerable times after my relish ended, and mm-hmm. whoa, baby, it says something very specific lyrically, and we love that.
Oh,
we love
speaking that. Of relationship Trisha songs, everyone also needs to listen to Where Your Road Leads that she sings with her now husband mm. Garth Brooks. That is a real moment.
Mm.
There's
Wait.
Some live versions of it yes. where he comes out of like a mist-filled orchestra section at the whatever oh. Staples Center or wherever it is.
Uh-huh.
God.
Also, you got to listen to Georgia Rain, people, because there's a line at the end where she's like seeing a lover after many years that she hasn't seen. And she goes, looks like you made yourself a real good life. Mm. What else can I say? Mm-hmm. The Georgia oh. rain on a Jasper County clay. Mm-hmm. It's so good.
Yeah.
Also listen to Walk Away Joe.
I love when
that boy's just a walk away Joe. Born to be a leaver, tell you from the word go. Destined to deceive her, he's the wrong kind of paradise.
Oh my God.
He's gonna make it in a matter of time. That boy's just a walk away Joe.
Ah! Ah! I had to get in on one, you guys. I'm beautiful. Sorry.
I genuinely, no, I love it when I both really of you guys sing.
Wow.
Oh, maybe we need a show.
That was euphoric for
I
me.
Really, I just took that in.
Speaking of, we'll do another plug. Tawny's other podcast, The Super Group, where
Super Group.
She makes songs with comedians.
We do. We make bops.
Is out, I believe, for free now.
Yes, you can watch it for free.
Oh, because was it behind a paywall?
It was paywall.
Yes. You know what I'm realizing? The last two times I've seen you have been miracle times that I've just run into you.
Yes.
Because the time before we ran into her at the iconic moment where we went, Tawny? Uh-huh. In Vancouver. Uh-huh. Before that was
what if it
when
wasn't
I did
Tawny?
Paul F. Tompkins' is Spontanea Nation.
Yes.
And I didn't know that yes. Tawny traveled with the show, but mm-hmm. she was improvising at the Bell House, and I was mm-hmm. like, who's here? Mm-hmm. And they said Tawny, and it was such a fun show. Said,
I drive the bus.
You do not.
There's no bus. Can you imagine Paul F. Tompkins on a bus?
Absolutely.
Honestly,
yeah, he's so old-timey.
Disagree. I think it's hard to imagine him on a bus.
No, Seersucker wrinkles too hard for him to sit for that long. Are you kidding me?
He's not right. sitting on the bus in Seersucker.
What do you think he travels in?
Pajamas.
No, he travels in full. Yeah. Look,
I will say,
been to his home and I've only ever seen him with a slight unbuttoned collar.
Okay, see, that's some Elizabeth Holmes shit. Like, he's wearing a turtleneck
Wait,
all the time.
Inside.
I literally, when I was out getting breakfast with Greta Titelman, I saw Paul F. Tompkins and I went
what
up to him
wearing?
And I said, Paul, hey, and it wasn't him.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, you just look exactly like Paul F. Tompkins. And he was like, who? And I was like, I'm sorry, but if you literally look like Paul F. Tompkins,
yeah, okay.
And
you live in LA,
it's probably a choice
look
to look like Paul F. Tompkins, you know
wow.
what I mean?
Wait, down to the dapperness and all that.
It was him.
I could see Paul driving a bus in a costume before I could see him
sure.
sitting on a bus.
That's true. He could play a character.
He yeah. could play Miss Frizzle's boyfriend.
Who?
From Magic
You know, from Magic
School
Bus. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
But okay. no, but yeah. Paul's not a bus. Paul is a penny farthing. That's,
yeah.
that's the deal.
But a penny farthing bus. Two big front wheels.
Yes, two big front wheels.
Small.
So
beautiful.
We asked the question,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Andrew T, what mm-hmm. was the culture that made you say culture was for me? The same question as Tawny, but this time for you.
This is going to be wrong because I
can't
went,
be wrong.
I went, it can listen. I went ahead and to prepare for this was listening to when you guys had Andy Beckerman and Naomi Akerrigan on.
Two lovely folks.
And you guys asked them the question, what's the culture that, you know, and they're a couple, so maybe that was more, anyway,
uh-huh,
so,
are.
But you asked them what was the culture that sort of binds you together.
Oh. Yes, because we had already had Naomi on. Yeah.
Oh, got it. I see.
But do you want to answer this question?
So
with
that's
you and
why
Tawny?
I was trying to think of the culture that binds Tawny and I
okay,
together.
Okay, we'll answer that. We're a couple.
We'll answer that and then answer it for yourself if you have.
But
a different
it might.
Answer.
You know what? Honestly, the actual pop culture thing that binds us together might genuinely be Paul F. Tompkins.
Wow.
Maybe,
I think it kind of is.
That's beautiful.
Because like we have very little overlapping in music taste.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we hate the, you know, it's just that like, oh, it's not as much my thing.
Sure, mm-hmm. sure, sure.
And kind of the same with movies.
I don't even know
except
what you
for
like.
The Meg, of
the
course.
Meg, there
yeah.
you go.
But like, you know, I watch all those like Marvel movies and whatnot, and
I
you
see.
Famously have only
I'm
watched
so famous
one
for
and a half of
not
them.
Knowing shit
yeah.
about them.
Yeah. Great.
But yeah, but the other thing is camping, I think.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's when we not that
we'd
we
be
were,
outside.
We were like, you know, really good, like podcast friends.
Uh-huh.
And then Tawny, I think it was during the last meteor shower.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? So it was during the last meteor shower.
Perseids in August.
Perseids. Tawny and her husband are really amazing, like outdoors people.
Oh.
And so she organized a little trip that I went on and I kind of like rekindled. Like I bought my own tent. I got like a knife. Bunch of
you got
boots.
A knife.
I got a knife.
You got a good knife.
A this good
is,
knife.
This is straight up fucking. Oh wait, Matt is making.
I don't know about this.
Okay, you don't enjoy it.
I'm anti-weapon.
Well, it's a tool.
It's a tool.
No.
It's for cutting your giant Asian pear.
Oh, and what do we think about that?
Well, look at me already trucking along, having already consumed this entire pear. I needed no knife.
It's like the mouth knife.
I
want to
cut
have,
something
not like for my hand.
If I want to cut something, honey. Yeah. I'll buy a scissor. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
you.
So this is fast. Okay, as to be, I would say Matt and I are very outdoor averse. Not that we have an aversion to the outdoors, but we would never. It would never occur to us
yeah.
to go camping.
I wouldn't rather be out there.
Sure. So talk through this. Talk through the appeal. It was.
Well,
for both
so
of you.
I was a like Boy Scout, but kind of under duress,
great.
And like I hated it, and like everyone, like I just like didn't like being there. And instead of doing my senior project that or the Eagle,
Eagle
Scout
project yeah,
which takes a year, I like fully just did LSD instead. I was just like, fuck this, I'm dropping out of Boy Scouts, and literally, I'm gonna do every second that I would otherwise have been in Boy Scouts, I'm going to be doing.
You were a teen
drugs.
Doing LSD?
Yeah, I was like 15
Fuck.
The first time.
What's your
I
relationship
did it?
With it now? But before we like.
I haven't
to...
done it in a long time.
Okay, great.
But I'm not against
we're,
it.
We're like new sort of. I mean, we haven't done it.
Psychedelic
I've done it twice.
Folks.
I did it
yeah.
2 weeks ago.
Oh, what'd you
oh,
think?
You did 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago was a little bit. Was a little bit more up and down than it was the first time I did it.
Do you think that. It was too much or just like not fun?
No, it was an environment thing.
Okay.
It was raining outside and we were cooped up in a house.
Mm.
And
oh,
I would have liked to have the option to roam
look at
about.
Nature.
Yeah.
You know what
sure.
I mean? And then like we could, but it was just like, I don't know. Yeah.
So I have a really different and I think not typical association with
yes.
drugs like that because I was doing it a lot as a teenager.
Right.
And that means I was doing it kind of a lot like by myself and often in my room and shit like that.
Holy uh-huh. shit.
And this is going to, I know this is bonkers, the thing I'm about
no.
to say next, but it's like I did a lot of acid because I actually in my like bad logic at the time was like, oh, this is like the least, I'm least likely to get caught doing this because it has very little physical paraphernalia. It's
wow.
a little tiny piece of paper.
Right.
So my logic right. was just like, well, they're not, you know, they're not going to find even a lighter, you know,
right.
or
Whereas
anything.
Other dummies have like a handle of vodka stuffed
yeah.
under their bed.
So I was just like, I'm just going to do LSD all the time. So I would like just the most cliche shit, just like listen to like the Velvet Underground and
yeah.
Beyond Acid and like look
wow.
at like pop art and like. Watch a little bit of TV, but
Psycho.
Not much. Yeah, truly yeah. bonkers shit by myself. So I like being cooped up when I'm on psychedelics. But it's also I was like in a very comfortable place. And
sure.
I still kind of maintain that. Like all my friends like to like do mushrooms and walk around. And I'm like, last time I did mushrooms, I literally listened to comedy, like stand up on Spotify. Just like, and it just started. Like, I was just
no.
like I'm not, you know, I like
God,
him as
panic.
A person, but like Anthony Jeselnik's stand up isn't like exactly my speed.
Yeah, but that's
right.
what you were listening to.
It was so funny on mushrooms. I was just like, I love this shit. It's fucking incredible. And it was like an old album that was, you know, that kind of the
was fair, dated and was like a
dated,
little...
you know, yeah, problematic in many ways. I'm sure. I don't remember it because I was on drugs.
Yeah.
you this dovetails with you actually camping, because during the PC Perseid meteor shower, the whole point of it, the sky turns into a laser show. He straight up at 8 p.m. was like, I don't give a fuck about them rocks. I'm going to bed. And he went to bed both nights.
I was like too stoned and I was just like, I'm going to bed. And everyone's like, are you sure? And I was like, yeah, I'll see you guys in the morning.
I built like a viewing pad. It was so nice. These cushioned like laying pad. I had all these outdoor pillows. I wanted this bohemian. I wanted my like Coachella. I wanted like my mountainous outdoor looking at the meteors, smoking weed Coachella.
There's nothing more Coachella than someone being too fucked up to be keep hanging out.
There you go.
Actually,
to stay for the main event.
I love that about you. You're a good camper because you don't like, you're not like, what are we doing now or what's next or when's dinner? Like, you just do whatever the fuck, which is the best.
Okay, but like, I can't get past just like the survivalist aspect of it. That's not the right word, but like the truly like just like
the there's a difficulty in a lot of basic functions.
I don't like being uncomfortable.
Well, so for what it's worth, first of all, if you go with Tawny and does I say Nate, her husband? Does Nate?
Yeah,
Nate doesn't
that's his
like.
Name.
Does he like having his name mentioned on podcasts?
He doesn't have a choice at this point.
Right. Tawny and Nate.
There we go, Nate.
They
his
have,
name is Nate. Look at
they
up.
Have. They have like such a comfortable setup. They're like the people that have like five of everything. So you can't even forget something.
Yeah, we got it.
You know, and we went to that campsite was.
It's a
as
very,
easy as it gets.
Yeah, instead of, it's not like a KOA where you've got like kids and water slides and shit, but it is a very comfortable, it's car camping, you know, so you're bringing all your stuff in your car.
Oh, I see.
You're right there. And like, we make a full, huge meal. We don't go like, oh we're outdoors,
so nice.
Everyone eat a hot dog.
Oh,
like,
so, the
we
food
made like
was so
very
good.
Extravagant food. Because that's part of it. Like, you want to sit and just like, eat and be stoned.
What's the meal?
And, oh, we did a, so I did collard greens. I always do, famously always do collard greens in the wild. Right. What else was in that meal? We also did a huge Thanksgiving camp out, so I'm confusing.
I missed that one. Let's see. There was
nice.
The first
literally
night.
Literally, we're so hungry right
the
now.
The first night. Well, yeah, you guys have been here for like a full union work
we've
day,
been,
right?
We've, yeah. We've been sitting at this table for 4 days.
Oh my God. You look great.
Nate's friend, whose name escapes me right
Adam
now.
Adam made like a...
Had brought like all this
like
crazy...
Carne asada.
So we had tacos the first night. Mm-hmm. And then amazing sausages
braised
and burgers.
Things. We have like, we usually do like a reduced like braised mushrooms thing, which you can either put over the meat or like for the vegetarians. Like it's a kind of an entree on its own. Like the big king oyster mushrooms from the H Mart. Thank you, Pears. Thank you, Pears.
We love you, Pears.
But yeah, but I will say, okay, so for people who are like, the outdoors isn't for me, and maybe it truly isn't, but if you have the right gear, and it does take a little bit of shuffling. I definitely went through phases where I like had the wrong things.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, I don't like sitting in these trash chairs just because it had a cup holder. I thought I would buy it, you know? But what I always say about camping, and like, I also like to do backpacking where you're carrying everything and you really can get away from people. The most beautiful things to see on this planet, either they cost one of two things, either a ton of money or a ton of effort.
Okay.
And I don't have the first thing. So I would rather spend as much effort like hiking to a thing or like bringing all my food in weird containers and pitching a tent in order to see like these beautiful vistas or go to the top of certain mountains. Right. That other people can only get to with like a helicopter, you know?
I am interested in seeing beautiful things. However, I would like to ask you about another element of the wilderness.
Don't say bears.
We have. No, I'm not going to say bears. However, I am going to say coyotes.
What?
Wolves.
Foxes. Oh. So just to illustrate.
Panthers.
Just to.
Panthers.
Panthers are out there.
Just to illustrate how like fully.
Title of that.
Panthers are out there. Fully safe this campsite is.
Yes.
The first night. We forgot to put away like half of our food.
Well,
like food.
Very stoned.
And
it was a full steak sitting out.
Untouched.
And
when we went.
Oh,
not even like, raccoons.
Yeah, literally not even raccoons.
I will say that one time camping at Big Sur, I did see a raccoon steal two, not one, but two bags of family-sized Funyuns from some
Beautiful.
Bros next to me.
I'm not scared of a raccoon because I feel like I'd shush it away. A coyote?
You will not shush a raccoon.
Yeah, no, a raccoon
you think
will
you will
not.
Shush
they
a raccoon?
Will fuck you up, dog.
A raccoon is so bold. A raccoon gives no fucks about you. A raccoon can practically talk. Their thumbs are so opposable they almost have speech. A raccoon will stay in your face. He will climb on a picnic table.
Oh
you just have
God.
To stand and wait for him to go away.
It's raccoons world. You're just
raccoons
living in it.
Can
world.
I tell you what I happened upon the other day? I went through for a hike, Griffith Park hike.
Please.
Yeah.
And what I happened upon on this hike happened to be
a
hawk.
You're on a different level right now.
I feel like he's been cooped up in here too long. And then we had the pears.
Well, for us, we're looking at you guys floating in outer space on the amazing space backdrop.
The backdrop.
So there is an element of just like, mysticism. This is like they're just floating brains in outer space.
And that's where we are. I feel relatively grounded, but you talk about this hawk.
Speaking of floating.
All right, so you saw a hawk.
This hawk was flying in midair. I've never seen anything like this. Hawks can just stay in one spot in the air without like even floating its wings.
Yeah. It's the original drone.
They are in fact like a kite.
Yeah.
And they are the original drone. Mm-hmm. And you know what happens on hikes? Many people will bring their dogs with them.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
It was clear to me.
I'm trying to eat the dog.
The hawks were trying to eat the dogs.
Yeah.
And I was like, I said to Greta, it was me, Greta, and Blair and Abe.
Yeah.
And I said to Greta and Blair and Abe, I was like, have you ever seen a hawk attack a dog? And they had to report to me that, yes, they had seen this. Oh, and I said, did the dog make it? And they had to report to me that, no, the dog, in fact, did not make it. It was a Shih Tzu that stood no chance against a hawk. And then I said, well, that hawk's not going to attack our dogs, of which we had two.
How big were they?
Small.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I said, they won't attack our dogs. And they said, we don't know that. And at which point in time, they picked up their dog, held him close to their chest, and that was the only way they could be confident, knowing that the hawk was not going to attack, kill, and eat our dogs.
There's something about this story.
The two dogs are named Bernie and Tiny, and they live up to their names.
Mm. Bernie,
and that he's like a Bernie Sanders older dog, and Tiny, and that he's very small.
I voted for that first dog.
For Tiny.
I voted for Tiny.
No, for Tiny. Sorry.
Yeah, I voted for Tiny.
Who was I supposed to vote for?
We don't know. Oh, it's fine. Fuck. Not Beto. Maybe Beto.
I thought this was just a cutesy thing, but maybe it's real. You can get like dog sweaters that have little spikes on the back. And at first I thought it was like, oh, that's like a punk. Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
But I actually think that's a hawk.
It's also anti-coyote. When I was a child, I lived in the country. This is also probably why I don't have such an aversion to camping, because I basically grew up camping.
Yes. Yes.
My life was camping. I grew up outside. But our neighbor had a bunch of sheep. And they would put a similar thing, probably not as expensive or cute, but like a spiky like a spiky jacket or like a shawl
on some
of the baby lambs.
It's basically just a bunch of spikes on it. It's like a leather jacket, but
for function.
For dogs.
Yeah, a functional leather jacket, Fonzie.
Yeah.
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 Fonzie had a natural predator.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Well, hawks.
Uh-huh.
Wait, Andrew, where did you grow up?
Michigan. Yeah.
Great. And the parents were what? First gen? Just putting you through?
It's wild that I still don't know which is which. They immigrated.
So I had to define for myself once and for all. First generation is them.
They're the first immigrant generation. Yes. I'm second generation.
Exactly. I'm second. Yeah.
Got it. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous that I don't know that off.
It's crazy that I didn't know this until very recently.
Yeah, because I always thought it was like the first generation that is born here.
That's what I thought.
I think the formal, technically, like the agreed upon definition is the first to emigrate. Yeah.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
My parents met in Michigan back of the envelope had to be the 70s or maybe the late 60s, I guess.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. They don't
there was this whole like thing where my parents couldn't there was a time in China where you could not
move out. So are they
Taiwanese?
Well, you know.
No, you said shitty horse people.
Oh yeah. So that was that's my dad's family.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
They were on the losing side of the Chinese Civil War.
Yes.
So my dad grew up in Taiwan.
Got it.
But he was, I only found this out like a couple years ago. He was like straight up a refugee for like the, my youngest and worst aunt was born in a fucking refugee camp on like the beaches of Taiwan.
Wow.
Like was just like, yeah, this is where I'm being born. And she went on to marry a white guy who's really
that's
racist.
That's why,
so.
I mean, if you listen to our show, his name is famously White Uncle Michael.
Yeah, he's
that's
the
probably Michael why Michael. She married him, because she's like, beats a refugee camp.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That'll...
He doesn't, but I hear, I understand how you could think that, yeah.
Okay, so your dad basically...
So he grew up in Taipei.
Grew up in Taipei.
And then my mom, sort of similar, I don't know all the etymology of her chaos, but...
That's gorgeous.
She was born outside of Hong Kong, but like grew up in Hong Kong in like... So my maternal grandfather, who I've never met... and he did die a couple of years ago, I think.
Uh-huh.
Straight up used like World War II to just be like, start a new family.
Damn.
So he just like disappeared, abandoned my grandma with like five kids.
Wow.
Whoa.
And so my grandma was a single mom in the 50s in fucking Hong Kong with five kids, shit. Which is like, it's like In the Mood for Love, but the most depressing version of that shit on earth. So yeah, so they're, and so both my parents met in Michigan and they were just like, fuck it, we're like the only 10 Chinese people here. So someone's got to pair off eventually.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they love each other about story. That much.
Well, I don't know what to say. It's like very immigrant where they're like, they kind of tolerate each other and like, whatever.
We're still together.
Hard to imagine them. Hard to imagine them like liking each other at any point.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, yeah. Uh-huh,
but who knows? Whatever.
Who knows?
I don't fucking know. They won't tell me, so.
Right. It's that thing where it was like, you grow up with these Chinese parents who like have their weird things about showing affection to each other or to you in ways that they refuse, like they withhold that.
Yeah.
But then you see that sort of being normal in other Chinese immigrant families.
Yes.
And so you think that's normal.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Yeah.
God forbid.
Is that how your parents were?
Yeah. Like, I've seen them kiss maybe once.
Oh, really? Wow.
That's not true.
Absolutely
Oh,
true.
Yeah. I think zero times for my parents stopped sleeping in the same room, I think when I was like 8.
And like,
and I think it was only because we moved to a house where that was an option.
Sure. And it's the same. And like, I feel like it, you sort of are at peace with it as a child of that kind of marriage, because you're just like, well,
yeah,
like, it was different.
It was, yeah, it's very, it truly like the circumstances are wild and like,
yeah,
they probably had to only think in practical terms rather than like have to think of a man who emotionally, like someone, a partner who can emotionally fulfill them in whatever.
Oh, God, yeah. Mm. I mean, I think all of my grandparents had arranged marriages.
Yeah, yeah. My grandma, my dad's side for sure. Not my on my maternal side, but yeah.
Yeah.
But crazy.
So it's like for them, they're like, yeah, we at least got a choice of some kind.
Wow.
This is romantic.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, wow.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. Okay, see,
can
this
I
is
say
beautiful.
Something that I've been thinking about? Fonzie's natural predator.
Mm-hmm.
Is a hawk.
Was the Time's Up movement.
Okay, explain this.
Because he was a misogynist.
Yeah.
And he was walking about.
Probably should
being
clarify.
The Fonz.
As far as we know, Henry Winkler's
fine.
He seems fine.
Okay.
He never heard anything.
Well, actually, famously, Henry Winkler and the Fonz are two different people. It's actually Rule of Culture number 99.
Henry Winkler and the Fonz are two different people. But so Andrew was just making sure that we weren't conflating.
I just wanted to, for the listeners. Tanya and I are, of course, well-versed in all the rules of culture.
We know them all.
Yeah. Yes.
I would never talk down to my listeners and assume they didn't know that famously Henry Winkler and the Fonz were two different people. And I will say that it's actually Rule of Culture number 101.
Hmm.
The Fonz's natural predator was the Time's Up movement, because had we been dealing with the Fonz in the Time's Up era, that show would have been shut down. Mm-hmm. Happy Days are here again. Mm-hmm. Happy Days are nevermore.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were proposing a maybe like a spec reboot of Happy Days where the Fonz.
Yeah, honestly, I'm going to write the spec script of Happy Days where the Fonz tries it and someone says, no. You know what? No means no, Fonz. Mm-hmm. And he says, hey, what do you mean? That's what he famously would say.
And that's the thing that makes it to Twitter and then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's like the Snooki getting punched in the face. That's the thing.
Right. We never would have been consuming that as entertainment nowadays.
No.
I do think Tani and Andrew do know all the rules of culture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite rule?
Oh, our favorite rule is
Obviously, clearly, number
134.
Yes, 34.
You like that one? Or you like, mm-hmm. Okay.
Or 137 is good, too.
Oh, it's played out.
Okay.
134, probably. Which...
Tani says this every time we say
okay,
it.
Okay, say it together at the same time.
Yeah, it's...
Asian
pairs
yes.
go
in pairs.
Yes!
That is wrong.
Asian pairs.
Oh. Rule number 134 is famously Denise Richards is canon.
I think we boot it and we do Asian pairs come in pairs.
Mixed up with...
It's 133.
Oh, you're
Can I say something? These Asian pairs came in a trio, so...
You guys ate them in pairs.
That's true.
Pair you knuckleheads.
Pair your knuckleheads.
Eating them.
Separate. What are some other Asian foods that we should that deserve to be popularized?
To more mainstream. What do you think about the the pineapple cake.
What's
it
fucking called? Oh, I don't think I've had that.
It's like the little.
Oh, the tartlet?
Yeah.
The egg custard?
No. But pineapple.
The pineapple cake.
It's like a brick of dense pineapple.
Oh, I know. And you're talking.
It's like a Fig Newton, but slightly bigger.
And you have it at dim sum.
No. That's like one of the festival's food.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Doesn't matter.
Do you know what I've been enjoying lately?
Yes.
No one drag me.
Uh oh.
Poke.
Oh sure. Why would we drag you?
That's the Hong Kong pineapple bun. That's different. I'll look it up.
Oh wait, this thing.
Yeah, those bad boys.
Fig Newton-y thing.
It's like a Fig Newton, but it's like it's like Fig Newton with pineapple in it.
I love
that. And I would just say they're kind of like maybe not quite sweet enough for a Western palate, but I actually think crushed up in like a ice cream or something, a soft serve, would be perfect for the Los Angeles area.
Now, the internet says that this is a Taiwanese treat.
Oh, would you maybe concur? That's it. That explains why.
I got that info from an internet site called The Walks of Life. So I don't know.
I wish we didn't do.
I don't know.
Put a pin in that. This may come up in a 1-minute segment later.
Sure,
doesn't matter.
In Epcot, In Epcot, there is a China pavilion.
Yes.
And the cocktail. When you do drinking around the world at Epcot, it is custom in Epcot. It is the culture of Epcot to drink one cocktail from each pavilion.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So that by the time you get around, you've had 11.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
wait, how do
the one
what,
that
but what, that's not continents or
no countries,
but just 11.
Well, they pick. Yeah. I believe
11 emblematic countries of the.
Let's see if I can name them in order. Ready? Go. Mexico, Norway, China.
Uh huh.
Then I believe comes. Then it gets fuzzy for me. I know there's a Morocco. I know there's a France. I know there's an England. I know there's a United States pavilion. I know there's a
Japan.
There's a Canada. There is.
Canada made it?
I said France. Yeah, Canada has a pavilion.
Why? You just drink CC all day? You just drink Canadian Club whiskey?
Literally, I think I had Molson. Was a Labatt Blue.
Get out of fucking town.
But anyway, the Chinese pavilion.
Wait, when you guys were in Canada, did you notice that there are other colors of Labatt? Labatt?
No, I didn't know that.
This might be
we were in Vancouver though.
So when I grew up in Michigan, the drinking age in Canada is 19. So we would drive across the.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we were in the one place where you can drive down to go to Canada.
Down?
Because it's the geometry.
Michigan is like this, and like there's a little sliver of Canada under the thumb, I guess.
Yes,
technically. Anyways.
Different colors?
There's like Labatt Green and shit.
Oh, that's insane.
I don't know what flavors they are. I assume apple?
Oh, it's flavors. Green seems like non-alcoholic to me.
Yeah. It might be. It very well might be. Well, Canadian listeners,
what is that?
Hack into the geocaching and, I don't know.
At the China Pavilion.
Yes.
Yes, sorry.
What they offer as a cocktail there is cantaloupe juice. With vodka.
No, thank you.
No.
Is that a thing?
No, thank you.
No.
It's too sweet.
Chinese people like
fruit.
Improbable juices.
I see.
Yes.
Thank you. We've been improbable juices.
That's also a fun runner for title of app, improbable juices.
You can go to the That's Chinese good. Store, the 99 Ranch out in the San Gabriel Valley. You can get like a pint of kiwi juice.
See, that sounds lovely.
That's good.
It's weirdly too sweet and too acidic at the same time.
But like,
That's a lot of. It's probably 10.
I don't like
kiwi.
An aggressive juice.
It's real aggressive.
But going back to the cantaloupe thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Not at all emblematic of Chinese.
Yeah, but it was weird. I didn't know what I was expecting there, but I was like. At Mexico, I had like a margarita, and then in Norway, I had like a Carlsberg like lager, like a nice European beer. Great. And then I went to the China Pavilion, and I really don't know what I was expecting. I guess like.
It actually sounds like that was the China Pavilion, so it's like a shitty Chinese restaurant pavilion.
But what would you think it would be like? A Mai Tai?
Like a lychee martini.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Like truly.
Plum wine? If it's palatable for people.
You know what? I think that they might have offered plum wine, but I had already drank two different kinds of liquor, and so I was like, am I really going to fuck myself
so
this way?
So plum wine, you can like feel your teeth dissolving. It's so sweet.
I've had plum wine.
It's unreal
how
sweet
it is. You know, I believe that's what they served at Cottage. Remember we used to go to Cottage.
Oh, that was disgusting.
We used to go to this place. It was one of the only places
that didn't card.
Sorry, that didn't card in New York, and we would go for it when we were younger. Oh, in sure. College. Mm, and it was like,
was that? Wait, what? Where? That was on like Bowery.
It was in Bowery. Yes. No. It was an Irving place.
Oh.
And okay, if you spent, if you bought like more than an entree, more than $8.99, right? Yeah. They let you drink all the wine you could drink.
Yes.
So I had my birthday there.
Okay,
it was that.
It was the same business model at the one by Columbia.
Oh.
It was this exact same shit. Well, so much goddamn wine.
They ever ask for identification. I believe it was my 20th birthday.
Sure.
We went there and like went to fucking town.
I'm significantly older than you guys. They used to not card a decibel when I was in
undergrad. What's decibel?
That like Japanese place on 10th and 2nd.
Okay. When did you live in New York?
98 through 2009.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, an 11-year streak.
I put in a while, but yeah.
When I was,
I didn't know you were that much older than us.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, dog.
You're looking fucking right.
He's cryogenically frozen.
You look exactly right.
When I was a child trying to drink underage, we went into San Francisco and we went to a drag queen bar called Asia SF that must be gone now, but it was so delightful and they did not card you, but you could not talk during the performances.
Oh, I love
that. They were basically like, you better fucking behave and we'll let you little assholes get fucked up. But like, you will watch. You will watch us sing.
That's
will watch us do these numbers.
You will watch us sing.
And it was great. And you could eat like very overpriced, terrible chicken wings and just like drink. Like at the time, we were all trying to drink Cosmos because
of Sex and the City.
I never even watched Sex and the City. I just overheard my girlfriends talking about it. I guess I want the pink thing that's hard to hold.
Yeah, it was a part of the culture.
Uh-huh. What is a Cosmo?
It's a pink martini. It's okay. In a stupid glass.
It's a vodka martini with like,
I think this is like one of the worst like straight guy things is I realize I only know it as a punchline from the worst people on earth.
Like, yeah. Truly.
Association of Sex in the City though?
No. Because of that.
Snuck into the lexicon. Also, by the way, I watched the Sex in the City the Sex in the City movie on the plane.
First one.
Mm-hmm. The movie is pretty good. I'll tell you what is bad about it. Mr. Big as a character is psychotically unrealistic.
Sure.
That man does not exist on this planet. Like the things he does in that movie don't make any fucking
sense. The wedding doesn't make any sense.
No, that he just leaves her at the altar like at her wedding at the New York Public Library. Are you fucking kidding?
Yeah.
And then he's like, "What am I doing? We have to go back." And then she's like, I knew you would do this. And I was like, okay, so
I'm humiliated.
And then don't they go to Mexico and she shames Miranda for not waxing? And I was like, what is the message?
Samantha shames Miranda for not waxing.
What
and then Miranda
the
completely overreacts. And she's like, what? So like, I made my husband cheat on me because I don't care. And it was just like, these women were acting insane. But as insane as they were acting, Mr. Big as a character is the most unrealistic piece of shit. And also, actually, now I know. I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I had never seen any of the Sex and the City television program, so when I saw the movie, I was like, why do I care about any of these people?
That was a false way to do it.
But it was a nice way to learn about Jennifer Hudson.
Oh my God, she's truly god-awful in that movie, I'll tell you.
She is bad.
It was after. It was like an easy gift for her to get.
Way to see her in another light.
Totally.
Yeah.
Her
assistant.
Her agents did well.
Why'd you move to New York?
To fall in love. Now, I have to ask Andrew one thing. I'm fresh off of this first tattoo.
Where are yours?
I just have one.
Oh,
and I'm truly just like waiting for the parental reaction to this. Not that it like matters.
Oh, yeah. The only one I felt bad about was my grandpa was like kind of like, you know, bummed about it. Like, visibly bummed about it.
Oh, damn.
That was the only one. I mean, look, I have a whatever relationship with my parents as it is. So I was just like, that was like,
whatever.
Deal with it. Yeah. I kind of liked the deal with it of it.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
But it was fine. They're very cool about it. But my grandpa was, and my grandpa ultimately, like, he passed away, but he was fine with it.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay.
You know, I don't know. I don't know what to say, but that was the only moment where I was, and my grandma was cool with it. God, like, oh, it looks cool. Nice. But the one thing I will say is that mine is like old, and it's still like kind of bumpy and whatnot.
Oh,
like,
really?
I think my skin does not take well to...
Just his trying to reject it still.
It's still, yeah, it still hates it.
Stabbing
yours
away.
Yours looks good, though.
Yours looks okay. Cool.
It's a little, I mean, like they didn't fully align the diagonals, which I kind of like. I kind of like that it's kind of imperfect.
It looks great.
Yeah, I was noticing that it looks a little rugged on the bottom.
Sure. But that's just, you know... That's
rugged on the bottom, the Bowen and Yang story.
Ooh, yeah. baby.
Baby.
Wow. What were we talking about? Cosmos. Oh, Sex and the City.
We don't need to, but go ahead. No. I mean, I have nothing else to say.
I have nothing else to say, but I am just reminding Matt that that's what is. I don't think so, and he will be.
Thank you for the reminder. I didn't forget, but thank you.
Good.
Great. I think it's time to move on to our segment, which is called I Don't Think So, Honey, which is our segment in which we take 1 minute of time to rant against something in culture that, you know what? We actually hate, and we need to talk about. And in bringing up the Sex and the City movie and the plot points therein, I have my I Don't Think So, Honey.
Okay. Mm. This is Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So, Honey, and his time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, the whole idea that Sex and the City ends with Carrie getting with Big because Big is emotionally abusive.
Oh.
Big is the emblem of sublimating yourself to a man. It is crazy that, like, Sarah Jessica Parker as Carrie Bradshaw is this feminist icon, and then she would return to a man who publicly humiliates her, like, not just once. Mm-hmm. Also, he fully treats her like garbage the entire series long.
30 seconds.
And what is so aspirational about him besides his, like, money and the fact that, like, there's some intrigue with these guys that, like, are dicks. You know what I mean?
Yes,
he's, like, a fuckboy before we had the term for fuckboy. Uh-huh. That's obvious to me.
15 seconds.
He's fine. Also, he fully, like, is a dick to her friends. Like, it's really, really annoying. I don't know if I like Aiden better for him.
5 seconds.
Better than him. But I would say maybe Carrie should be single. And, I don't think so, honey.
And that's 1 minute. That was beautiful.
That was very tame, especially compared to the energy of this whole insane episode. I feel like I Don't Think So, Honey was actually one of the most grounded things we've heard.
Well, because he was rationalizing a lot.
It was real.
I feel, and I often feel like with I Don't Think So, Honey, I finally find what I'm going to say at the very end.
Yeah.
And what I would like to say definitively about Sarah Jessica Parker, aka Carrie Bradshaw, marrying Chris Noth, aka Mr. Big, is his name was John.
I know.
When did they learn that?
In the last episode of the series, you find out that his name is John.
Oh, boo.
And I'm like, okay, so it wasn't even like he was more.
No, I think you find out in the movie.
No, you find out in the last episode of the show.
All right.
I haven't seen much of any of that show or movie, but I did. The second one is basically like an incitement to class warfare.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. They go to Dubai.
They're incredibly insensitive.
Yeah.
And they should never be there. It's essentially a 2.5 hour long commercial for Dubai.
Yeah.
But they're incredibly disrespectful.
That must have been and Fast and Furious 8, whichever one that's in Dubai also.
Right.
Felt like it was shot like with the same crew. They just rolled straight into the other movie.
Absolutely. Well, you always know in these movies when like they're just doing a commercial for a tourism in another country. Like whenever they go there for no fucking reason, which happens, which also I believe happens in Black Panther.
To Dubai,
Japan?
They go to Korea.
They go
to
Korea.
Like whenever they go to another country, and it's just like,
Well,
Dubai, it happens the most.
Well, yeah, because I suspect there's a lot of, well, I mean, like so many movies, like take a jaunt to China or like, again,
and that's
have like a Chinese DJ or whatever part of the gang who they don't like or talk to. But that is just like, so like, I think it's got to be just like white movie execs being like,
there's money in Asian
we got to make these people feel like they're part of it. We totally need them to be our audience.
But actually, like, if you notice it, which I'm sure you have, like more often than not now, these big action films will include like one of the set pieces will include like an Eastern country.
They do now different cuts There's a whole, yeah. I guess Iron Man 3 has fully 10 more minutes that are just like, isn't China amazing?
Yeah.
Like, apparently. I haven't seen it, but yeah.
I believe it just because it's such a huge part of the world now in terms of like where film is consumed and it's such a huge market. I mean, we were talking about this the other day, or not the other day, like I was talking about, I believe Guy Branum was the one that brought it up, and he was saying like, you know, it used to be that you could have like a mainstream film. It didn't need to appeal to international audiences, and now, specifically the Asian market, but that has changed now. Like, in order to be like an internationally bankable movie star, it's very important that you appeal to the Chinese market.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is bizarre.
Yeah.
Like as a Chinese person, I find it.
Well,
like,
it's trying to appeal to the culture, but it's also trying to like.
But then the culture is being like so.
And it's also, it's like people, it's like. People like us are the closest that a lot of the people that make decisions get to that culture. Yes. And we're not that close,
and we're
to,
not
the target
that close
culture.
To the target culture. And then it's like, and then the target culture overseas are the types of people who would build a fake Paris.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Also, although, you know what? I'm down with that. But that's separate. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
also
separate.
When you say we have to open it up to that culture, what you're also saying is like, we have to like, in a way, limit diversity and like representation, because like they could, for example, they could, I bet Love, Simon wasn't released there. You know what I mean? I bet in terms of gay stories, they're not culturally ready to
see
that.
They edited, I mean, this is the joke was, it was the movie already, but they further edited Bohemian Rhapsody. So
right, to include
the
there's literally no gay stuff at all. Right.
Yeah. The other thing that the Chinese government hates is ghosts.
And Winnie the Pooh.
Because what? Is it because they're actually scared of them?
I think unclear. I think it's because a lot of like the dissident cultural movements are around things like spirits and ancestral worship.
Yeah,
and
right.
Like,
so there is an element of fear of God in a way.
Of any kind of spirit. But I think the same with Winnie the Pooh is like, but that, we don't talk to imaginary things.
Well, with Winnie the Pooh, it's specifically that
no pants.
It's the prime minister. It's the prime minister Xi Jinping. For whatever reason, it's this dumb meme that I still have not made sense around. Like, I still don't know why the people compare him to Winnie the Pooh. But like, it's this joke. It's this meme that he looks like Winnie the Pooh. He doesn't.
Weird.
To me, he does not. look like Winnie the Pooh. But like, as a cultural image, like Kingdom Hearts 3 came out and they cut out the Winnie the Pooh stuff.
Oh,
and like Winnie the Pooh does not. You cannot find Winnie the Pooh anything in China.
That's crazy.
It's because he's a full
Jewish Hapa, hot associate producer Alec knows.
It's because he used to date someone named Christopher Robin.
That makes sense.
Okay, I'm ready.
This is Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey, and it must appeal to the Chinese market.
Yes.
And his time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, expensive t-shirts. I'm wearing one right now. Expensive t-shirts. A t-shirt should cost $5 at most. And yet I'm being suckered into paying for these $90 t-shirts. Why? Because Urban Outfitters. Urban Outfitters was the beginning of the end for t-shirts, for fucking conning the entire world into paying more than $5 for a t-shirt.
Oh.
And you know what? This is my appeal to the Chinese market. I'm wearing Comme des Garçons. I'm being very, very stereotypical for an Asian.
Seconds.
It's very so Asian to wear. But I feel like a fool. I feel it's like an emperor's new clothes kind of thing. Where now I finally I'm snapping out of it, and I'm looking at myself. I'm going, what am I wearing? Oh my god, it's a $90 t-shirt.
15.
I can only pay Old Navy all the way. Bring back Old Navy. Old Navy is queen. Old Navy is canon. Buy all your t-shirts at Old Navy, and then silk screen whatever you would like onto that, or buy our t-shirts at tpublic.com/store/lostculturistas.
Yes. And that's 1 minute
where you plug the merch. God,
it is what a degree of difficulty.
So insane to me that you would dare get on this podcast and say, I don't think so, honey. Expensive t-shirts. There is nothing you enjoy more than buying clothing that is 200% to 300% more expensive than it should be.
I'm saying
you love it.
No, but I'm rounding a corner now where I'm just like, clothes should not cost this much.
Yeah, they shouldn't. But they also don't. It's the stuff that you buy.
Yeah. No, I'm realizing this. This is a moment of self-awareness. I'm leveling up. This is my journey.
Okay. I want to see two things from you going forward. I want to see two things from you going forward. And if I don't see them, I'm filing for a divorce.
What? Go.
One, no cigarettes.
Okay.
Two, no expensive designer t-shirts. You can just, you want to buy an expensive designer sweater, whatever, fine.
But a t-shirt,
T-shirt,
no.
Bitch!
No, I know.
Honey.
I know. Mm-mm. It just, it's none of it aligns. None of it makes sense. Okay.
This is Tawny Newsom's.
Can I confess something to you?
Yes. What?
Now, classically and famously, I do not plan things.
Yes.
So
oh, neither do
is,
we.
Is there a trollable option here? Okay, is that possible for the recorded I know it's possible for the live show, but I did not know.
Yes, we can pull one up right now.
I haven't heard someone do it on the recorded thing in a while, in the studio.
Yes, because people don't, closed mouths don't get fed. People don't ask for it. And the fact that you're asking for it is a huge deal.
Thank you so much. Okay, thank you so much. I famously will not plan a thing.
I have something.
Okay, I can't read what you're pointing at, so you go.
Tawny.
Yes.
Your I Don't Think So Honey troll bowl topic is Salma Hayek.
And your time starts now. And your time starts now.
I Don't Think So Honey, Salma Hayek, because I have been forever confused if it is Selma or Salma. I do not know if it is an A that we are pronouncing as an E or if it is an E that we are pronouncing as an A.
Oh.
Maybe it's an A we're saying as an A, and I have just had the problem this whole time. Salma Hayek, I Don't Think So Honey, you made the blunt cut very fashionable, and I could not have one when I was that age. My hair would not do it. So I Don't Think So Honey, you making me want something I could not have. I Don't Think So Honey, you essentially being the Latina Chloe Sevigny. You are both chic and you're basically a clothes hanger. Your shoulders seem to just want silk caressing them, and it makes me jealous. Your canon of work is good. However, I haven't seen you in a while. I Don't Think So Honey. Where have you been? Probably raising children, in which case my hat is off to you.
15 seconds.
Or doing anything else. You're allowed to have a life. Why are people on you about what your career is? Everyone should leave you alone. I Don't Think So Honey, the people who won't leave Selma or Salma Hayek alone.
5 seconds.
I Don't Think So. I didn't know that you weren't Johnny Depp's girlfriend for a while.
And that's 1 minute.
Does she ever date Johnny Depp?
I don't think so.
Just in vibe and movies.
So we should say flat out it is Salma.
Okay. Well.
And
my
so it is an
least
A.
favorite thing about Salma Hayek is she talks at this speed.
Who said this?
This is Salma. This is
her.
Is the pace at which Salma Hayek speaks.
Also, but English is a second language, you know.
No, I think it's just
her vibe.
Her vibe.
Okay.
It's just discipline.
It's kind
just
of a have cool the vibe.
Discipline. But I respect Salma Hayek because of Frida. Yes. I thought she was very good in Frida, and also robbed. I respect her because she had a really hard time with Weinstein on that film. And was her passion project. And
you're
she right. fought till she was like sick. To make that work. Yeah.
But importantly, Tawny does not respect her.
So that's the thing we apparently, all have to, I learned tonight that I don't.
Of course, we all have to keep
and
in mind.
And that's fine, and that's beautiful.
But when I leave this room, I will go back to respecting her.
Yeah.
She looks great in a choker.
Absolutely. Oh.
She always rocked a choker.
And you know, famously, beautiful, gorgeous woman. Bombshell.
Yeah.
Why did this get so weird? The way you complimented her was
is weird.
It's because I'm straight.
Odd. It doesn't feel like it.
I'm keeping my fucking mouth shut. She is to me famously the person who is short but like seems monstrously tall.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, she's like actually quite short.
She's the best friend of Penelope Cruz, and I bet they're both like tiny, but she's make when they stand together, you would think Penelope Cruz was a giraffe.
Like they're people you look over to see an ATM.
Yes.
Here's, speaking of that vague that look, this is my other gross straight guy confession is at the Emmys? Was it the Emmys or the Grammys
one
or whatever? I did not know that Kacey Musgraves was not Nelly Furtado for fully an hour.
Oh,
well, that's
interesting.
Crazy.
I just couldn't tell.
I see that.
I just didn't know what was happening. I was literally like, why the fuck is Nelly Furtado singing with Dolly Parton right now?
Wow,
this doesn't
psycho.
Make any sense. I know.
No, I get it. I get
How
it.
Do you get it?
They just all look the same to me.
There you go. And there you go. These little, these mousy little songstresses.
They the same.
Running around.
All women look the same to you?
I want to report Matt Rogers has eaten his Asian pear down to now the size of a key lime.
You did it.
Congratulations.
It's a golf ball. You're playing all the sports with that pear.
I really enjoyed it, you guys.
It's good.
It's a good fruit.
I threw mine away when it got like wiffle ball sized.
Should the title of that be Asian pears?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Asian pears.
What was the other one?
We have Panthers are out there.
Panthers are out there.
And
I
then
love.
Improbable Juices
is also very
good. We've got some good candidates.
We have some good candidates.
We will counsel on this.
Win on the time. Patreon.
Yes. Oh, we should just say right here.
Do you guys have a Patreon?
We do. We have not added new content to it for months and months.
The Patreon's dead.
We're so sorry for the people who still supported us, but thank you for supporting us.
I do RuPaul's Drag Race reviews and recaps now on What the Tuck.
And Matt and I are on different coasts now, so it's just harder to keep up, and we don't want to take your money while we don't put out content that's specifically for a smaller audience, and so therefore we will be shuttering that.
Bo and
quickly.
Yang and I are in an LDPR, a long distance podcast relationship.
There you go. Mm.
So what I'm hearing is you guys have too much money and you can't accept it from
Throw Eyes. I would love that money. But
my bank account won't allow more money.
You hit the top.
My bank account is full.
If you get any more money, it actually rolls over to zero.
Yeah.
Brewster's Millions.
You don't like want to top off.
It's like that. So every day I have to buy a million things.
Yeah.
Did you? I don't know if you got. So when Tawny was in
Vancouver.
When she was in Atlanta, maybe Vancouver also, but
she stays booked.
Oh,
when Tawny was.
No.
You have to cut that.
No, absolutely not.
It was half an inside joke, but also it sounds horrible. Anyway, go.
No, it's okay. But we had a month or two where we were doing remote episodes, yes. Tawny on the phone. And Earwolf set her up with maybe the most hilarious thing I've ever seen, which was like a portable VO booth that was about, I don't know, 1.5 feet, cube of
cubic
felt.
Feet.
Sure.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That you basically had to put the microphone in and then stick your head in to talk it. And she sent a picture of it. I'll see if I can find it. Keep talking about
it. Her head in a box?
It was the funniest shit I've ever seen.
What's in the box?
It was, yeah.
Trondy Newman.
Well, we do have to do Andrew.
I can't find it. Okay,
Andrew
it was very
Cheese,
funny.
I don't think so, honey. Do you have something prepared?
Yeah.
I mean,
vaguely prepared. And also, if you listened to, it's different than what I did at
the live
I don't
episode.
Think so, honey, live,
but
it's
here
a lot
we go.
Of similar themes.
Here's Andrew's I Don't Think So, Honey. And his time starts now.
Boy. I don't think so, honey. To Asian Twitter being on that first draft tip.
Oh.
I just am very... just today... I forget what it was, but every time Scarlett Johansson... It was that Shang-Chi is about to be the first Marvel superhero.
Yes.
And I just knew that so many Asian Twitter people, who I love many of them, were going to say, I thought Black Widow was the first Asian superhero.
30 seconds.
Because of Scarlett Johansson. And I'm just thinking, and this is my plea, both to Asian Twitter and to all marginalized communities, because I know we've had to put up with a lot of shitty comedy forever, but I just really, really want
15
us
seconds.
To just... Second draft it.
Yeah.
We are in a time of Asian... I'm sitting in a room with Asian comedic excellence, and I just...
Yeah. 5 seconds.
We could do better. Please do better. I love you so much, but please do better.
And that's 1 minute. It's never good to be a first thought.
Thank you so much.
I'm
next?
So bummed out by it.
What's next? Hear the thing after the thing.
Yeah. Not good to be first thought.
I just can't go to a place where people... I just cannot validate any tweets. After they announced Emma Stone is hosting with BTS as a musical guest, and a lot of people have been like, wow, an Asian episode, an all-Asian episode. I'm like, y'all.
Oh my
we can
God.
Do better. We can do better.
Better.
There's literally been millions of jokes about
it's
that.
It's like, you gotta do better.
I know. And I get the instinct. Look.
Look.
We all have the thought.
It's a shared thought.
Just don't
and
put it out
that's
there.
What some comedy. So that's what some comedy is.
Yeah.
It's a shared thought.
It's an observation that other people share with you, but.
Well, we've observed
we've
it.
We've observed
plenty.
It. We've observed it.
And all the versions of it.
Mm-hmm. So many lessons on this episode.
A lot of lessons. Oh, I mean, so many lessons on Yo, Is This Racist?
And here's the thing is you said that when you listen to their podcast that you become smarter. And who knew that as a result of them coming to Las Culturistas.
With their pairs. With Andrew's pairs.
With the pairs. Yeah, they have made this pair.
The podcast.
They have made this pair, and I'm pointing to you and I, much smarter.
This is a smarter pair.
I would also say, may I take the floor?
You may.
Please.
I would like to say that coming on this podcast with Andrew's pairs that he graciously
which are your
me
pairs.
To share. Sure.
Yeah.
And watching this pair, and now I am pointing at the two Chinese gentlemen in the room.
Tight.
Watching them have very tender cultural moments that they don't get to have very often was very enriching for me. So while I'm also smarter, but I also feel privileged and honored to have been able to crunch along with my fellow white brethren and listen in.
You guys are more Chinese. You
guys are more Chinese.
I feel lucky. I'm staying away from the number four, right?
That's the deal. Yeah, get away from the number four.
Well, okay. It's important that everyone knows I'm culturally Chinese Iranian.
No.
I am. My parents are Bowen and Sudi. Inshallah, okay. No one comes from me when they listen to this.
Inshallah. And what do we say? What's your Chinese? What do you say in Chinese now? You don't have a Chinese phrase that you go to.
I don't, and so I would like one.
Okay.
What's one for Matt?
Oh, inshallah. Like, what's the equivalent of inshallah? God willing. So it's like, oh, this is tough.
Yeah.
We'll come up with one. I'm having a
hard
time.
It has to be now.
Inshallah, it's like, oh, siwang, maybe, right?
Siwang.
Yeah. Siwang.
Well, that's just like, I hope. But you don't really say
like
Shiwang, a lot of people listen to this.
That's really good.
That was good.
Yeah.
That was good.
And
Shiwang, everyone listens to this.
Shiwang. Was me. I or I.
Literally match our pitch.
Shiwang.
People listen to this.
Shiwang. People listen to this.
Honestly, that was pretty good.
I mean, but Matt's a musical person. I think he would pick up Mandarin.
Yeah, the tones are a lot better. Honestly, a lot better than... my cousin is dating this white guy who lived in Shanghai for like 9 years. And so she's like a Chinese girl from San Diego who like, you know, never really embraced any Asianness. And her white boyfriend, his accent is not great, but his vocabulary is expansive. And so it is hugely embarrassing
for
me.
So weird.
So,
right?
So that is me.
Yes.
I. Like if I wanted to express myself.
Siwang is hope.
Yeah.
Siwang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like it.
Pretty good.
It sounds
very
beautiful.
Good.
Siwang.
Can I take the floor now?
Yeah.
Please.
Really, really enjoyed the conversation, the musical interludes, the references to Trisha,
so great.
To Leanne, to Shania, and then what was the harmony song?
That was Walk Away Joe.
Walk Away Joe. Mm-hmm. I mean, truly beautiful.
It was
meeting,
really great.
A meeting of the minds musically.
Thank you so much.
And I feel not only smarter, but I was able to see this pair come together musically, and that is beautiful. Two beautiful vocalists.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We are a pair.
And you know that we are a pair. And you know that what we do, and please listen to Yo, Is This Racist? And what we do at the end of every episode is we do end with a song.
We end
it
with a song. Mm. And so... And it comes to us very naturally.
How do I get through a night without you? If I had to live without you, what kind of love would that be? Oh, I need you in my arms, need you to hold. You're my world, my heart, my soul.
I want to know,
how do I breathe without you? If you ever go, how do I ever survive? How do I live? By Leanne Rhyme.
Okay.
Oh.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam. And liking our page on Facebook.